My name is Margaret Clark. I've had a long association with the area because we came up here as children since my father was born locally, my grandmother also, and we came for holidays during my childhood. I was brought up out west to Narrandera, out near Wagga, and came to university where I studied education, became a teacher, moved into working with trade union movement, and then joined the Department of Education, working with training programs for unemployed people, and taking early retirement when our department was abolished. Moved back up to where my father came from, became heavily involved here with the museum, specialising in writing and doing research into both First and Second World Wars. And we try to give a balanced view here of the development of the area, focusing on not only the natural environment, but also the development of the area, the industry of the area, in particular, of course, the dairy and the forestry. Some of the early settlers experimented with crops which certainly definitely failed. I mean, one person arrived from Jamaica thinking that this area looked very similar and therefore he would try to grow sugar, which was fine the first year because I think he must have arrived in a La Nina event and there was plenty of water, plenty of rain, but that didn't last. And that was a sign of an industry that failed. And so we've seen also how dairy has gone from being the responsibility of small individual farmers to now being large corporations, because a small farmer simply can't cope. The size of the farms are too small. So you learn that you have to adapt and adjust to suit the market, suit the environment. I think we've become particularly focused here because 2019 was a massive drought, followed by devastating fires, which destroyed a lot of properties in the area. And I think disturbed a lot of people because there was a real fear that this town would be affected. Following that, of course, we had the switch to La Nina and we had significant flooding and the army had to come in to help with the clear up. And of course, with COVID, so you've had three major crises over the last 3 years, which I think has focused people's attentions very strongly on the problems that we're facing and what will continue to occur. And I think that there is a growing feeling that insufficient is being done to prepare for the future. So at the point where we had the drought, the council was starting to investigate desalinisation. But of course, once the drought finished, well, that was the end of it, looking at that as a potential alternative. And yet, we could be back in drought in a short period of time. And you look around the world, we're having severe weather disruptions all around the world at the moment that has never happened before. And it seems to be escalating and becoming much, much more prevalent and more common. In the past, Australia has depended very heavily on its natural products. We rode on the sheep's back for many years. We're now fully dependent, it appears to me, on what we dig out of the ground. We've allowed our manufacturing sector to fall by the wayside. We're not thinking as positively as we should be about alternative energy, although the current government seems to be moving towards that. And some individual towns and regions are taking matters into their own hands because the governments are not providing enough incentive for people to go ahead. And the government itself is, of course, not being proactive enough in my mind. So I feel there's a long way to go there. In terms of other countries, France, which I have a particular attachment to, you can see in little tiny villages, there are wind farms everywhere, that entire barns are covered in solar power panels, which are powering the entire farm and the neighbouring farms as well. So I feel that we have a long way to go here. We've got the potential, we've certainly got the sunlight to utilise for solar, but we're not doing it in as great or as quickly as we should be doing it. Particularly after the last 3 years and the devastation that has occurred in this area, is that there's a growing realisation of the need to look to a sustainable future. And because it's a rural area, because it's dependent on agriculture predominantly, then the concern is that much greater. And that's why there was such a strong opposition to the concept of fracking, which could well have destroyed the subterranean water and had other effects that we don't really know. I think that there are a number of people that are taking direct action. People are installing solar power. If you look around at the town, every second house has got solar batteries on the roof. And there's a growing move to install batteries, which I've done. Now, the other thing is you've got towns such as Gloucester, which are moving towards establishing for the township their own power plant, predominantly solar. And we're having discussions here with the Wingham Advancement Group and with council as to whether we could do something similar here. So therefore, it is coming from the grassroots up. It's not coming from government down. And you're penalised in many ways because once you start to sell to the grid, you're selling at a pittance and you're being disadvantaged because then they make minimum charges. Even if you're not present, if you're not in the house, you've got $100 worth of usage which you didn't use because there's a standard $1.50 charge per day, whether you're there or not, whether you turn the electricity on or not. So I feel in that sense, perhaps there needs to be some intervention to stop this sort of double dealing by, well, I can understand the energy companies being worried. If they are not in the forefront of moving into renewable energy, then they're going to be disadvantaged in the long term. And I think governments need to be aware that you can't rely, and you should not rely, on companies to drive change, that it has to come, in that sense, from top down. Currently, anyone who's renting, who doesn't have solar power, is paying a lot more in electricity charges than those who own their own property and who are able to make the decision to go into solar. From time to time, governments have initiatives, as they did in the past, where they would subsidise you to put on your solar. But they come and go, those incentives, and they're not available if you don't own your own property. So I feel that a lot of people will, yes, be left behind because at this stage it seems to be an individual choice and not something that's universal. We don't know what other critical events will occur in the future which could be of significant damage to the environment. Yes, we have to take these steps. We have to hope that we can plan for a transition, but we can't rely on it. Man is perhaps the most destructive of the beasts on the planet. We need to learn from our past to be able to plan for our future.